Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're into part four of Here I Am. It's a piece of literature the Lord gave me in 2002, they tell me. The Lord gave that to me. And then we also have some letters today, as per usual, and some scripture reading, breaking down of the Word of God, to where you'll be set on higher ground for sure, and the church will be strengthened, and there'll be souls. If they want to go to heaven, there'll be souls that are brought to the Lord today, or there'll be souls that'll be attacking even more the church, the body, the true church of the Lord. Because there's people, whenever a church of the Lord starts, there's always people that will come and help, and then there's always people that will come to hinder. And I understand that very well, because that's exactly what happened to Sue and myself when we started this work. People came running into the church and started praising and thanking the Lord, and there were some in there that didn't know us from the man in the moon, and they came in to hinder us, and they started bringing accusations. Even in the infancy of this church, they started bringing false accusations. In my testimony, I would tell of how I did this promotion and that promotion and so on. And one person came in and tried to get our piano player out of the church by telling him that Tony Alamo never really did those things. His testimony is false. And so our really good piano player left. Then finally he called me up and said, this person said that your promotions that you're talking about in your testimony are not true. And I said, well, Brian, if you want to, you can come over here. I have an entire scrapbook and all kinds of people's names and places and pictures of the promotion that I did and Billboard magazine and other promotions that I've done. You can just come over here and I'll show them to you. If I can show you that I did the promotion for Best of the Beatles and Rovan and Sonny and Cher and Bobby Jameson and helped with the Beatles and the Elvis Presley promotions, would you believe me then and disbelieve him? I told him the devil's all he's trying to do is get you out of the church. Every time a church starts, there's a lot of people that rush in to help, because they have the same vision that the people that are opening a church have. And then there's some that come in too that have no vision whatsoever. And they don't really know what their purpose is in life. And if they know their purpose, they're certainly not doing it, because it's for sure their purpose is not that of the Lord who created them. It wasn't that reason that the Lord created people to come in and destroy churches, the Lord's church. So, or anybody, we're not to destroy people, we're to preach the gospel to them and bring them out of darkness into light, and to show people the purpose of the things, to show them the same vision that we have, the vision that the Lord had, the vision that the Lord gave us. Because the Bible states that without a vision, the people perish. And the Lord tells us that he wants us to be have a corporate vision. There's no possible way. So when one person, God gives one person a vision, then people, God has already prepared a bunch of people to be with you to accomplish the vision that the Lord has given you. Well, God has given Sue and myself vision, and it just worked out exactly that same way. Hundreds, even thousands of people started coming out of the hippie movement, and then the church began to grow by leaps and bounds, and it, the news of it spread quickly throughout the entire world. The press flew down from all over the world, from the Der Stern magazine in Germany, from the Paris Match magazine. They took photos, they followed us around. The Italians' film crews came in from Japan, and they were so caught up with the church movement, this vision of ours, that they actually were helping out unknowingly. They were helping our ministry. These people from Italy would have, the camera crews would have very fine Italian-made clothes. They're the best designers of clothing in the entire world and the greatest artists, and for that matter, singers as well. Some people may argue that, but nevertheless, this has proven to be true throughout history. And they got so caught up that they actually, when I was out in the ocean baptizing, they would, the cameramen and the sound men would come right into the ocean with their very expensive Italian suits on, and they forgot even, they were so caught up in this vision of ours that they forgot that they were wearing these suits, and here they were up to their waist, and sometimes even further than that, in the ocean's water, and they'd push the camera as I was pushing people down into the water and bringing them up. The camera would go right down into the water and then come right back up. It was absolutely incredible. Then they would sit on the back of the convertible that Sue would be driving. Yeah, because I used to drive, but my eyes got so bad I couldn't anymore. And they would have microphones and be talking to us, and these boom mics would be right up in the front seat with us, and their camera crews would be in vehicles on both sides of us, in the back of us, and in front of us, shooting us as we're everywhere we went in Los Angeles, and out on the streets where we're distributing literature, and the brothers and sisters were out there distributing literature. We were the talk of the entire planet at that time, and we always have been for many years, until they found out, the government found out, that we were too powerful for them to cope with. So they told all the a woman from Channel 5 in Fort Smith stated that the government is going around to the entire news media, telling them if they ever interview me again or even talk anything good or bad about me, they were going to close down their station. As a matter of fact, they did close down the station in Nashville, Tennessee, because my brother Danny, who just died a few days ago, about 4 or 5 days ago, we just came back from his funeral, that they, because my brother wouldn't stop interviewing me, and the station manager wouldn't stop Danny from interviewing me on his talk show, they tore the tower down, because the things that I was saying make so much sense, and many thousands of people, even maybe millions of them back then, were being saved, and it's the same thing today. From what I hear reports all over the world, is that there are millions of people being saved through this ministry. We were the Jesus, what they call the Jesus freaks, the Jesus movement, the hippie movement, the Jesus freaks, and all these things, and now people have realized that we're not freaks, that we started the whole movement. You can see people, even the phonies, are saying, you know, that they're Christians, because Christianity, we put Christianity in vogue. People that want to be president, even if they're, when they're Catholics, they say they're Christians, and the Pope just made a statement that they have to do away, say the only people that are causing peace not to be in the world was, one of them was fundamentalist, Christian fundamentalist. Can you believe that? Like, in other words, they say Christ was a fundamentalist. The Apostle Paul was a fundamentalist, a Christian fundamentalist. They were all filled with the Spirit. They spoke in tongues. James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of them, and all the first Christians in the world were fundamentalists. And the Pope, this Ratzinger is his name, stated that we are the ones that are against peace. And here they are instructing our United States Army, Navy, and Marines, which now is the world government troops. They are instructing them to bomb and murder millions of people. We're not doing that. We're preaching that you must be born again. And if you go into the hiding place of the Lord, the covert of the Lord, if you rest in his hiding place, if you Sabbath in his hiding place, if you're baptized into the Lord's hiding place, he hides you from all these things. And then people, if you stay in there with the Lord will even make moves for where more and more Christians will rise up to help you. The more that the people that have the same vision as, like for instance myself, rise up to help, we all become one in Christ Jesus. We become a corporate body. The Bible tells us that we're not to try to do it alone. There's no possible way that we can be the fullness of the stature of Christ as a single individual. Some people say that I can serve the Lord over in that house over there, or in some other house, or outside the church. But that's physically impossible. Even the Lord, in the Genesis 2:18, stated, "It is not good that man be alone." Amen?
Amen.
We're not to be alone. There's no possible way that we can succeed, that our vision can succeed, if we are attempting to do it on our own. We have to have a lot of people that have the same vision and the same zeal, the same purpose that we have, and that purpose is either given to you from God or it's not. If you're not helping the ministry, then you're hindering the ministry. The same thing was in the book of Isaiah, where in the 16th chapter it talks about things like this. And in the book of Nehemiah, it talks about chapter 2, verse 17. Nehemiah is telling how that the entire area of Jerusalem was broken down, wasted, destroyed. And he had a vision from the Lord to repair Jerusalem. And automatically a bunch of people came rising up to help him. Amen?
Amen.
And then it got more and more, and then there's a lot of people that rose up to hinder him. It happens all the time. When anybody has risen up with a vision to serve the Lord, all kinds of people will rise up to hinder that move. But if you're in God's hiding place, if you have that vision and you're in his hiding place, that is, in his rest or Sabbath, if you're resting completely away from the world, if you're Sabbathing away from your old works, you're not doing the things that the people of the world do any longer. I mean, I'm not talking about working at a job, a decent job, to make a living for your wife and children, but I'm talking about the sinful ways that you used to walk. You stay away from that, and you just get into God's Sabbath or rest, and with your vision, and the Lord gives you power in there, in his rest, in his hiding place. You hide yourself under the wing of the Lord. So we're going to read a few scriptures in that regard in just a few minutes, but right now let's all go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to be with the entire corporation, the corporate body of Christ throughout the entire world, and that we don't hate one another, because hate is murder, and it's for sure the Lord's not going to bless anyone if they are haters or murderers or people that are attempting to hinder the work of God. Who do you think you are? There's no possible way that you can destroy the work of God. The government took all of our property away once before, but now we don't put it into a church because we realize that the Vatican's one world government is doing everything in its power to destroy fundamentalism, which is Jesus, the apostles, the prophets, and all the disciples. And so we just, from now on, everything goes into everybody's name in the church. We just give different things to whenever you get something, it goes in the person's, different people's names in the church, so that there's nothing that the church really owns. And so therefore, except we rent the churches, and some of the churches we do have that are corporations and so on, but still all we realize, they took everything away, and now we have at least 5 to 10 times more than what we had before, which shows that we're a work of the Lord. God, like Job, allowed everything to be taken away from me, just as he allowed the devil to take everything away from Job to test his mettle. And my mettle has been tested, and therefore he even took my wife Susie. Half the church left, but they were not really of the Lord anyway, because if they were with us, they would undoubtedly have stayed with us. If they were had the same vision we do, but many of them were there just to sponge off the church and to they learn a craft so they could go out into the world and use that craft, and that's all right, because I really don't like any phonies around me in the first place. The vision that I have is to, I see the entire world lying in destruction, not just Jerusalem, but the entire world lying in destruction, and the Lord has given me a vision to preach the gospel to the entire world and to destroy with the word of God the Antichrist regime and all the false doctrine that's in the world. Let's go to the throne. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. We thank you for the vision. We thank you for the purpose. We thank you, Lord, for the people that you have put together that are helping. And we, Lord, even thank you for all those that you have sent in here that have not been with me, and I mean, i.e., you and myself, but they have come in to hinder. They do as little as they possibly can, and they also bring false reports about one another instead of being a member of the corporate body of Christ. Lord, we know that we can't do it alone, and every one of us has to work together, just like all the members of our body has to work together, and our eye cannot hate our ear, or our ear can't hate our leg or our toes or feet. We must love every part of our body, including our wife. And we have to love each other, one another. The Bible says love is the keeping of God's commandments. But chiefly, we must love you, Lord. We ask that you pour out your Spirit, open up the kingdom of heaven, the windows of heaven, and open up the hearts and the spirits of the souls and the minds of those in radio land, that they may receive whatever it is in this message today that you want for them to hear, that they might be, that the church might be lifted up, strengthened, and given a purpose, a vision, so that they don't perish. Perish means fall away and then go into later, when they stand before you at judgment, go into, be slung into the pit of hell and then the lake of fire. And we pray also, Lord, that those in the world that don't know these truths, we pray that they will hear the word and receive it so that they could be saved. We pray that you give them a vision as well. Some of them, Lord, I know that you can help this vision of ours, all of us corporately, the vision that you have for us, that they can help us to get this work of God done in a very quick manner. We see that Satan believes also in this, that they must all help one another, that they have a vision to destroy everything that they possibly can before they're cast into the lake of fire, into hell in the lake of fire. And so that's their job. It's what their master, the devil, has told them to do, and that's what their whole purpose is. And if you people in the world out there that don't know the Lord yet, if your purpose is to, if you hate the things that you see being done in the world, and you know that's not your vision of what they're doing, or to cause wars and to destroy children and women and men, and eventually wind up in hell in the lake of fire, if that's not your vision, then join us. And because our vision is to save people and to bring real peace in people's hearts and lead them into the Lord's hiding place, a covert place where people can dwell and be baptized into his rest and have peace and Sabbath, the continuous Sabbath, that their souls might be saved, so that on the day when the evil ones are being judged, that we will come before the mercy seat of Christ and be told by him, "Come in, my good and faithful servant, well done. Entered into everlasting joy, peace, honor, dignity, and a blessed place where you never grow old, you never die, and your loved ones that you corporately bring with you in this vision, that they will be right there with you, and there'll be no disappointments. No one can steal anything that you have. Nothing can rust. You never have to buy anything new, because everything is provided for us there. Lord, we ask that everyone will see the sensibility of this vision, and that they'll receive it through, and it's only received through Christ Jesus, none other. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus created everything, and he can create within us a new heart if we come to him, and he can create within us a new a purpose and vision, and he can give us peace and joy and happiness in a troubled world. Lord, we ask that you accomplish all this, that you touch everyone out there to receive all this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's. Where's the first letter from?
From Calabar, Nigeria, West Africa. Dear Brother Alamo, precious greetings in the sweet name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am grateful to God for your ministry and broadcast over WWCR. I am so much blessed by the sound messages that I cannot keep it. I always share it. Thank you for
blessing. See, right there is a person that helps. Amen?
Amen.
He's not hindering. He doesn't keep it into himself. He goes out and helps, gets the purpose of God done. He wants to share it with people, and that's a good heart. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Thank you for blessing me in Africa. I love you, and God bless you.
Thank you for blessing me and all the people in this church by hearing this wonderful letter of yours. Praise the Lord. You're part of that corporate body that is helping the Lord's vision come true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless you, brother. And then what?
Please help me with a study Bible, study materials, tapes, and helpful literature and tracts.
Study Bibles, I've never found one of them that was kosher yet. So, you know, you just need to rely on the Holy Spirit. And if you need something to study, listen to my study literature. And if the Lord allows me, I'm going to be opening up a university pretty soon where people can come and attend. Or you can learn just as much, I believe, through the tapes and through the literature that I write, that God gives me. Then what?
Thank you so much, and God bless you real good. In Christ, Pastor Bassey from Calabar, Nigeria, West Africa.
Bless you, Pastor. Really good, too. Praise the Lord. God bless you very much. Okay, the next letter.
From Togo, Africa.
Okay.
Pastor, sir, receive our fraternal greetings in the beautiful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A very large amount of your message to the world called Earthquake has appeared before us, which was sent on June 7, 2005. We present all our gratitude towards you for the enormous amount of spending you must be doing in the preparation of the literature for the salvation of souls. We have.
Now, it's a corporate endeavor. You know, we all help one another, and it's easy when we all do that together. Amen?
Amen.
All you people out there that would like to tithe to this vision over here, just get your checkbooks out or whatever, and send some, and because our vision is to evangelize the entire world. God, we ask that God will begin blessing the whole world, and how else can he bless the world if he doesn't use us to bless the world? We, if we do what the Lord says, are a blessing to the world. The only blessing that I can see that it has.
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
We have already distributed a large part of it, and certain verses have enabled us to teach within our respective churches. Many have received Christ after the studies. Will you send us some 100 French Bibles to give out to the new believers who are very poor? Our district is very big. We want to also ask you for the literature in French that we do not have for the good exercise of our pastoral duties. You have sent us 50 French Messiah books. We have already given them all out, and other people are looking for them now. We are beseeching you to send us 100 copies of them and the French newsletters and pamphlets that you have available. May the peace and grace of the Almighty be with you through the work in the salvation of souls that you are organizing throughout the whole world. God bless you. Alavanyo from Togo, Africa.
I can say that the Lord is using us and organizing this entire corporate body of believers to help the people of the world receive their salvation, their healing, and this their final resurrection, the resurrection immediately now, and then the resurrection of their bodies when they raise from the dead, that they'll be transformed from the earthly body to an ecclesiastical one, one that is absolutely perfect, more perfect than it's ever been. And if there's any limbs or any impediments in their bodies, there's no imperfection in heaven. Everything will be just the way the Lord says it will. No imperfection means none whatsoever. I had a vision one time that the Lord, I've had many visions from the Lord, but this one was a vision of Susie, my wife, because her hair was eaten up from the chemotherapy that she had been taking because of cancer of the breast. And then it spread into other parts of her body, and she died on April 8th, 82. But I saw a vision of her, and she was standing there, and her hair was absolutely, she was absolutely beautiful. And it was her in eternity before she passed on. And it showed her hair clear, a little bit beyond her waist, and it was thick and blonde. And then she had her hair down in sort of like bangs in front. And then there were swirls on the each by her ears coming outward. Then there was a beehive of hair up above on the top of her head. And there was a crown going around the beehive made out of gold. And then she turned her head. And every move that she made, her eyebrows, her skin was just beautifully beautiful. And every time she moved her head, there were diamonds in her hair here and there that just flashed like diamonds in her hair. And then I saw a vision of myself, and I was surprised to see that my hair was kind of like close to my head, and it was silver, not gray, but it was silver, and it was like carved silver, and it was really spectacular. Looking, it looked like all the atomic bombs or all the weapons of the world couldn't even destroy one hair. And my skin was gold. Both of our skin was like gold color, like a gold tan, or better than a gold tan, much better. And that gold and silver looked so good. And I've got, in this world, my eyes are not that hot. They're pretty bad. That's why I have people read the things that I've written on the radio, otherwise you'd get bored stiff if you had to wait for me to read. And all the things that I say on radio and whatever I've ever said on television, and some of the different television stations are asking for me to be on television, and we're making all the moves toward that, and it's very likely to happen soon. But anyway, my eyes are so bad in this world, and when I moved my neck, it looked like the neck of a deer, because my neck has always been very powerful, because I used to, I still work out, but I've been working out ever since I was 19 years old, and I was the executive vice president in charge of sales, and I worked out and trained for Mr. America, Mr. Universe years ago. And but my eyes were weak, and so when I turned my head, I glint just like the almost like the sparkle from one of those diamonds in Susie's hair came flashing out of my eyes, and I could tell that in eternity my eyes are going to be perfect. And both of us looked like we were about 17 to 18 years old in looks, and yet we had a mature look about us and a look of wisdom and power that is unparalleled. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And so therefore I know that there is no imperfection in heaven. Anything that is wrong with you in this world, even people that have problems thinking or brain power, you know, because they've never really gotten into the Lord. The Bible says that the Word of God is even able to make a simpleton be wise, amen? Amen. Or at least seem to be wise, because it's the Word of God that makes you wise. The more of the Word of God that you know, the more wise you are. And the more souls you win, the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. And so therefore, the one that wins the most souls must be the most wise. That's what I always tell people. All right, so we just thank and praise the Lord for all these people that are helping this vision of ours, of mine, and everyone that has joined, the ones that God has placed in this ministry from before the foundation of the world. They are here in this church, and they've been here, some of them, for many years. And there's some of them that are pouring into this church, into the facilities, and rising up all over the world that are not moving into these facilities, but they're rising up all over the world and helping the gospel get out and attempting to make this a better world, but it's not going to happen. They're saying peace, peace in Jerusalem and all throughout the world. The heathen are saying these things. And the Bible says that when they start saying peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction, like these tsunamis. And the tsunamis and the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the hurricanes, and all the other plagues, such as these diseases and infirmities and sicknesses, these are going to get worse and worse. Nothing is going to get better. It's not going to get any better, so don't expect it. We're right now in the beginning of tribulations, and it's going to get worse and worse. So don't let anybody cause you to think that, or have faith in, that you're going to be raptured out of the tribulations. Now, my brother is gone now. He passed away on the 28th of December, just after his birthday, which was December the 7th, 1935. But he's in heaven now, but those of us will... If we don't go on like my brother Danny has, we're going to be around here through the tribulations, and then immediately after the tribulations, the Lord is going to take us out of here. That's why it's important for you to read, study the Word of God, become strong, have a vision. If you don't have one, then pick a person whose vision that you agree with, and then join them, because without a vision, you will perish. That means you'll go to hell and spend eternity in the lake of fire. All right, let's go on with this letter reading here.
The next letter's from Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa. Sir, greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that Alamo Ministries shall continue to grow spiritually and physically in Jesus' name. Amen.
With people like you, we shall. Amen.
Amen.
Seems like they have the same vision. Then what?
Sir, I received your literature from a friend of mine in my school about a month ago, and since then my life has never been the same again, because the Lord Jesus Christ has taken perfect control of my life since then. Praise God. I will also need some literature and four Bibles as well for my evangelism in my campus here in Nigeria, and I will really appreciate this. Thank you, sir, and the ministry shall continue to be successful in Jesus' name. Amen. Adeyemi from Ipaja, Lagos State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right, now, yes, we are prospering, and even if one of us dies between now and the time that the Lord comes back, the works that we are doing, we printed so much literature and put so much of it on tape, and I've done so many, that my works will follow after I'm gone, and anyone that's in this ministry, your works will too. Anyone that helps out with this vision of ours, mine, of the Lord's, you're going to get the very same reward as the rest of us do. Some of you are going to be coming in late. But don't worry about that, because the Bible says that those, the newcomers, were going to get the same reward as the old-timers. And even some of the old-timers are going to fall away. Don't let anyone think that you can't fall away. There's so many scriptures that people falling away and people becoming antichrist. But don't let anyone kid you or try to lie to you that it's impossible to fall away. The Bible says those that do are like dogs going back to their vomit, sows going back to their wallowing in the mire. It says that it's impossible to restore them to repentance. The Bible says to get into God's Sabbath, into his rest, and stay there. Those that continue in the vision, in the work of the Lord, they shall be saved. Only those that continue to the end, the Bible says. Okay, so now we're going to begin with part four of Here I Am, right?
With his spirit mingled into our spirits.
What spirit's that?
God's spirit.
The spirit of the Lord, amen?
Amen.
God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in their spirit and in truth. And the truth is the Bible. You cannot worship the Lord unless you are studying the Bible and unless you know him who is called in the Word of God. Christ is the Word of God. So you've got to know him or you can't love him. How can you love somebody you don't know? Amen?
Amen.
Either if you know somebody, you either love them or hate them or you just write them off as nothing much. You either join them, help them, or you hinder them. And if you don't help them, you are hindering them, because this is a work of the Lord that the Lord has called everybody to do. You say, well, I don't believe that's my job to help out in the work of the Lord. But the Bible says that it is your work to do, that we all have to become one body. So that means it's a corporation of bodies that become the one body of Christ. And we all have to help. If you say, well, I don't believe I was called to preach or teach or any of these things, that might be very well true, but you can help one way or another. I mean, the body of Christ needs teachers, or they need people to help in carpenter work, in plumbing, electricity, in sales, and appropriation of different things that we need. There's everything that you see out in the world. Almost we need construction workers because we're building. We need people that are location finders for our to open up new churches. We need people that know how to go into a church and fix it up to where it's presentable enough to put on television. Doesn't have to be fancy, but we need to have people that are able to take the gospel literature and go out on the streets and get people, compel them to come into the house of God, and then hold services and then counsel people. We need phone counselors. We need all these, and more than we have them already, but we need more. Amen?
Amen.
Because we want to spread this vision that I have is throughout the world, not just in a few areas. I praise and thank the Lord for all the hundreds of churches that have risen up in Africa, India, the Philippines, and from over 200 countries. But I don't see as many Tony Alamo Christian churches in the United States, and we want them. Mm-hmm. I want to get the true gospel out. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of churches that don't. I believe that, you know, in music, because the Bible tells us that, and the Lord has honored our music, and I believe in singing and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord. I believe in soul winning with all my heart. That's the thing that the Lord, and I believe in all the things that the Lord has commanded everybody to do. Okay, so we're talking about the Spirit of the Lord, so continue on.
With his Spirit mingled into our spirits, he can dispense his precious life from us into others. Hence, we will be able to be led directly by His Spirit.
Yes, and when He dispenses His light into us, as His Spirit into us, He also dispenses His power into us and shows us through His Word that we have to be in the Sabbath, sitting with Him in rest from all the evil deeds that we did before, sitting with Him in heavenly places. And that is where our power comes from, in our ability to be able to preach the gospel, to teach it, and to also stand in these troublesome times. I know that I've been put through a lot of persecution, and I've been put through a lot of perilous times, and a lot of abuse and character assassination and false accusations and all these things down through the year. And the only way that I've been able to handle that is by my staying in the power of God. And that power is only found in the true believer's Sabbath or rest. I rest in the Lord. It's a covert place for me. It's like a hiding place to where I can hide. And I'm looking from that vantage point of sitting with Him in heavenly places, these things that are happening to me. But I know I'm nestled in the hiding place of the Lord, in His rest, in His Sabbath. I'm baptized into it, and I've got the power to endure all things that happen to me. So many people were just like weeping and crying in my brother's funeral. And sure, I would not have been able to hold my composure there if I were not in the hiding place. I was not weeping. I was... The man had suffered for over 30 years. He just reached his 70th birthday, and he had been suffering. He had bypass operations, and I know why. I mean, there were some things that he was resisting the Lord with, and he had done a lot of con artist things in his life, and he was being torn to ribbons. He had a prostate problem. Two-thirds of his prostate was taken out. He then had the aorta operation, which Conway Twitty died from. It just burst, and that was it. And if your aorta breaks, you're dead immediately within seconds. Then he had got cancer in his lung, one of his lungs, and it spread into three ribs. He had to take those out, and his most of that lung. And then right after that, he began, the cancer took over right where it was before. They thought it was gone, but it didn't. And then it went into the other lung. And then it went into his stomach, and just within days, and then into his brain. And then he couldn't get up and walk, and there was mucus. He used to smoke a lot, and I told him, the Lord told me that you can't smoke, and you got to stay away from dairy products, and because it's like just drinking mucus when you're drinking milk and eating cheese and all these things. And he couldn't get the mucus out of his lungs, and that's what finally strangled him. Because all dairy products, the Lord told me to stay away from them. Now, maybe He didn't tell you that, but He told me that, and He told me to stay away from beef and, of course, pork. I mean, I've stayed away from that ever since I've been saved, which is going on 42 years in the ministry. But let's go on now.
In this way, He can also give us spiritual intuition or insight, wisdom, and strength, and will be able to show us great...
Strength is the power. When you're in His Sabbath, then what?
And will be able to show us great and mighty things that we would never have been able to see in the flesh.
Right. If we all get together as a corporate body of Christ, we're going to see great and mighty things. We can't do it alone. No one can do it alone. Even all the motivational books that are written, I had never read one of them before, because I've always been very good at motivating myself and others in business. But then one time I said, "Oh, you must have read this motivational book or that," and I never, honest to God, I never did. I just had a natural, I mean, the person that wrote the book was probably of the same mind that I am. And so therefore, that you can see that this is the way they think, that you've got to have people help you. All right, and so let's continue on.
By this, He will also give us eternal life, as well as innumerable things in this world on this side of eternity that we would never have been able to have in the flesh. Quote, "No man shall see God and live," unquote. Exodus chapter 33, verse 20. This means no man can see God unless his self-life is dead, mortified, totally surrendered to the death of the cross, and resurrected from that death unto life eternal, spiritual life, so that the only life that remains in him is the life of God in Christ.
Yeah, and that life is a purposeful life. It's a visional, a visionary life, the vision that the Lord gives you. That's the life that you're supposed to be living. It's a life of vision. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The resurrected spiritual man can see God. Carnal, unregenerated men don't know what this scripture means. They can't see God because their carnal life is still alive.
Right. Many people see, almost everybody sees with their eyes, but how many people are there that have vision? Amen?
Amen.
Everybody sees, but very few have vision. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
They cannot discern spiritual things, because spiritual things are discerned by people who are spiritual. A carnal man never seeks God, so he can't see him.
No, he can't see him. He can see the world, but he can't see God. He has no vision of how to make it into eternity. They're always waiting around for somebody to come and tell them something, and even when they do, they say, oh, that's ridiculous. But as a matter of fact, the word of God, the Bible says, is foolishness unto those who perish. That's why they never have the vision, so they perish. Then what?
For years, I've seen and heard carnal men discussing God on television and elsewhere. I also have seen many documentaries produced and directed by carnal men which discuss their theories of God. They are all unbelievably wrong because they are carnal.
Right, they don't have the Spirit, so they don't know God. They can't see God because they've never given up their carnal ways. You must die. No man can see God and still live the carnal life. You must die out to the carnal life in order to be in God's rest and have his power and to be able to see God. In other words, to see his word and understand it. Then what?
All those who were involved in the making of such films or tapes have obviously never been born again of the Spirit. They don't know God. They are not led by the Holy Spirit, let alone led directly by the Holy Spirit.
Right, a good example of that is the History Channel. They keep putting on about Christ and about those people don't know the Lord at all. They don't know anything about God. All they know, they're reading the Scriptures by the letter. But the Bible says that the letter killeth, but the Spirit bringeth forth life. Amen?
Amen.
I watch every so often, I look at that History Channel when they make this attempt to tell people about God, and I just grieve because I know the carnal people out in the world are receiving that, and it's just more doctrine that's going to cause them to cement themselves right down into hell and the lake of fire if they keep watching things like that. Pick up the Bible yourself and read it, or tune in to our website. The website is
alamoministries.com.
alamoministries.com. Just hone in on that and start reading that. There's literature on there and tapes you can hear, and you'll get faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word. That's how faith in the Lord comes, not by looking at the History Channel on the things that pertain to God. They don't know God, so how can they tell you about someone they don't know? All right, then what?
However, the spiritual man sees eye to eye with God. He
right,
sees
the spiritual man has vision, and they see him, and he definitely sees them, and he hears them, and he answers them. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's wonderful in this world here. We need all the help we get. We need somebody to run to. We need somebody to hide in. Amen?
Amen.
We need a place to hide in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, you can't hide under my armpit. It's not big enough, okay, to house every one of you. You have to get up to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And get under his wing.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's got enough room there for everybody. Praise the Lord. Then what?
He sees God very well. Even if you are a rich man or woman with trillions of dollars, you still cannot buy or bribe God to give you eternal life, healing, or any of the other gifts which only God can give. All gifts from God come by our obedience, which means we are to be led exclusively and directly by the Holy Spirit.
And when I say obedience, that means he says, ask and you'll receive. If you don't ask, you're not going to receive anything. And the book of James tells you that. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. You're not really sincerely believing that it's going to happen. So ask if you really believe the Lord, and you will. It's a positive. It doesn't say you maybe will, but it says you will receive. All right?
Amen.
Get into the purpose of the Lord, and then your sickness will go when you ask for it to go. If you just sit there like a frog on a log, nothing will happen. You've got to call out to the Lord, and he'll hear you and answer you and show you great and mighty things. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Godly things cannot be purchased with money or with any other thing, such as diamonds, rubies, gold, or silver. Jesus continues saying, quote, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of his heart, I will come in and eat all spiritual things with him, and he with me," meaning he will direct you and I by his Spirit, unquote. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, original Greek. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven with only a mental knowledge of the Bible. If a person is not directly led by the Spirit, they will never enter heaven. Quote, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you," unquote. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11. If you, while in this world, were not led directly by the Spirit of God, Jesus will say to you on the day of judgment, quote, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," unquote. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. It is perilous, very dangerous, for us to be content merely with a knowledge of the Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is within. The Holy Spirit must be living and working within us so he can lead, guide, and direct us to accomplish the will of God, and so we can spend eternity in heaven rather than hell. Quote, "The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power, of Holy Spirit-directed action, which occurs when words from God's Spirit are given to the spirits of Holy Spirit-filled men who instantly react to God's will and do and say exactly what the Holy Spirit has directly dictated to their spirits."
And some people say, "Well, I never hear from God." Are you completely doing the same thing that the sinners of the world are doing? Have you really changed your life? Have you? Are you in the Lord's Sabbath or his rest? Are you there resting on his bosom as the Apostle John did, one of Jesus' disciples, in order for you to get clear direction? If you're not, well then, no wonder that you can't receive any direction from the Lord and you don't hear his voice. You have to get into the Lord's rest. Stay away. Get out of the world. No matter how attractive it seems to you, you're going to have to discipline yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit and get out of the same lifestyle that you've been living all these years. There has to be a change. We change from death unto life. You've been made a new creature, and you have to start living a new life, a life that's changed. The Lord changes us in a twinkling of an eye, and we can't be living the same way that we did before we accepted the Lord. So many people accept the Lord, and they don't even make one change whatsoever, except they may have never gone to church before, and they'll go on Sunday and maybe on Wednesday, but that isn't what it's all about. We read the Bessie piece of literature, and in there it tells you that you have to live in the Spirit. And the Bible tells you that all the way throughout. You have to be eating spiritual food and drinking spiritual water every day, all throughout the day, and to witness for the Lord, or to help the body of Christ. At least do something for God's sake. All right? You can help. If you want to know how you can help, I've got hundreds of ways that you could help my vision and the vision of the people in this church. You can help a lot. All right?
Amen.
Any help will do. All right? It's better than just sitting there and not doing anything. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That was 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 in the original Greek. There are billions of talkers, but they don't have the eternal Spirit of God in their spirits. They are not doing anything God wants them to do. They are only talkers. The kingdom of heaven is not at all like the hypocritical Pharisees were in the days when Jesus was preaching on earth in his human body. These hypocrites would talk, but they could do nothing for God or man, because again they had not the Spirit of God, nor were they at all led by the Holy Spirit, let alone directly led by the Holy Spirit. This is true also of the false prophets, teachers, preachers, pastors, and evangelists that you see and hear today, those who just talk but never do what the Holy Spirit's desire is for them to do. Like the Pharisees, they are not led directly by the Holy Spirit, but are led directly by the spirit of Satan. The Good Samaritan is far better than they are.
Yeah, and I say, you take a person can know the scriptures and know what the Lord wants them to do, but that even makes them more responsible to do what the Lord says to do. And so if they know all these things like the Pharisees did, the Lord says, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they're not doing anything at all that is of the Lord. To know and to not do is horrible sin. Okay, and then what else? We've got just a few more seconds here.
The kingdom of heaven is also not brought about by people who think they are serving God with their ideas, their thoughts, their wishes, their decisions, their emotions, their impulses, their desires, or their feelings. The kingdom of heaven lives in those who are directly led by the Holy Spirit, those who never do anything other than what the Holy Spirit tells them to do. They may sometimes make mistakes, and then might sometimes commit a sin of ignorance, a sin not unto death. But when they become aware of their sin of ignorance, which is not a sin unto death, they, by their Spirit, will immediately approach the throne of God in heaven to confess their sin of ignorance, which is not unto death, that they might be forgiven for it. Then God will forgive and wash their sin of ignorance, their sin not unto death, away in the precious blood of Jesus, so that their conscience may become free and clear from guilt and condemnation again.
Well, I see our time is up again. And right now, those of you that would like to get into this vision of ours and of the Lord and really begin doing something that's going to pay off eternally, let's get saved right now. Amen?
Amen.
So let's say the sinner's prayer right now. Say it to the Lord. To the Lord Almighty God, your Creator, your Savior, your soon coming King. Just repeat these words after me to Him with all your heart. Say to Him, My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my sins. And I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me and the rest of the world. But so few receive this blessing, this tremendous, the best blessing in the world. Wash every filthy sin away in the blood of Jesus, Lord. You will not turn me away. Your word says, I know, because your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me and answered me. I know you've answered me. And I know that according to your word, I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord and give him all the praise and the glory. Because the words that I have spoken and that the sister here has read from literature that the Lord has given me, all this is from God Almighty anyway, so He gets all the glory. Amen?
Amen.
So just thank and praise the Lord until tomorrow, when we're going to be getting into part 5 of Here I Am. This is Pastor World, Pastor Tony Alamo, saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.